Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock!
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there. We've got news from Indiana. We've got news from New York. And it all falls into the category of...
legal stuff!
Crime. Punishment. Judges. Legal stuff.
Joining us in studio from the WIBC newsroom, Donnie Burgess. Donnie is our dedicated reporter covering the Delphi trial. So we've got some potential news about cameras in the courtroom here.
Yeah, we have the first media outlet that tried and failed to get permission to broadcast the trial May 13th. Our very own news gathering partners, Wish TV, and they were denied today by Judge Fran Gull. They were shown the door, so Wish will not be able, as of now, to broadcast the trial, which is something that a lot of media saw coming. This is in the, within the wheelhouse of the judge, and yeah, they were the first to try.
Now, this isn't some blanket decision that the judge hands down, right? It has to go a media outlet by outlet basis.
Yeah. So each media outlet will file their own motions, and they'll try, and most likely, I was told by Judge Gall's staff at least 2 weeks ago that she's most likely going to deny every single request.
Because the law in Indiana changed recently, right, to where there were up to the judge. Cameras were allowed in courtrooms.
Yes.
But totally up to the judge. It wasn't always that way, was it?
No, and Judge Gall was a part of the pilot program that tested that out to see how it would work. She was a part of that program, but, you know, apparently that is she's not in favor right now.
What do you think, man? So it doesn't look like there's going to be cameras in the courtroom, Hammer. I know that. I think you wanted it. I kind of am on the side of, like, I don't want this thing turning into an OJ circus type of deal. You know what I mean?
Right. I want full transparency. So if you can't put cameras in the courtroom, then I want reporters that are allowed to cover it with their phones in the courtroom. Like, I want live tweets. I want live updates, because my fear is that the public is not going to get all of the information we desire. And if something kind of flies under the radar or even covered up, now we've got a whole mess, because it's important to me to make sure this trial is fully transparent and the legal system runs its course.
And what you just said happened on March 18th. All throughout the day, there were misquotes and inaccuracies and inaccurate descriptions of what was happening in the courtroom that day. And those things trickled out all throughout the day because no one was able to broadcast it. There were not complete up-to-date details being released.
Wow.
And so we all had to wait until reporters got back to their cars because they couldn't take electronics in with them.
Which is ridiculous.
Yes. So, and that's the thing. Like, the judge's staff told me that she's basing this off of, well, I don't want to show the jury or the witnesses on TV and the Carroll County Courthouse. It's just too small to fit everybody in there. But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about inaccuracies and everything. For a case of this magnitude, where this is what's going to happen.
And let's be honest, there are already a lot of conspiracy theories, questions about what's going on. Is this the right person? Does the judge have a vendetta against the defense? The defense team, you know, they don't want the judge to be part of this. There's bad blood there. So that's why I think this has to be transparent to show the masses, hey, we had a fair trial. All of the information was rolled out there. You guys heard it the same way the jury did. And now we can move on.
And there's it's possible that something could happen, but I mean, look at some other major case. Another major case right now is the case of Brian Koberger, who's accused of murdering four students at the University of Idaho, I believe. Judge in that case is going to allow the courtroom to live stream that trial. So they're taking a hands-on approach, and they're going to at least make that available.
So it's like a pool kind of feed, where everybody can pull from the court.
There's so many options. There's so many things you could do. So many many ins and outs, options A, B, and C, but instead we're just shutting off completely.
And you can still do that while protecting the identity of the jury. You don't have to show the jury per se, and you don't have to put microphones near the jury so somebody would recognize a voice even.
Yeah, and it's just going to lead to further, just a further cluster of the courthouse that day, because only two entrances are going to be open, one for Richard Allen and one for the rest of us. So you're going to have this gigantic dog pile of people 3 hours in advance. That's how long people have been lining up before this. And then you just won't hear anything until the evening. And it's really unfortunate.
And the judge still has more to rule on, doesn't she, before the start of the trial?
So I believe by May 1st is when she should make that decision on whether or not attorneys Baldwin and Rosie will be held in contempt. Even if they are held in contempt, one of the options is they could be removed from the case, but I think that one is pretty much off the table at this point. They may be looking at a fine or something like that if she decides to hold them in contempt. But that's where we are right now.
And now we wait to see if any other media outlet gets approved or denied, right?
Yeah, and it's important to know that this isn't like no media can show up, because we can. Reporters can go in there and cover this. Like I said, you just have to sit and wait for the entire day to find out what happened. So people will be allowed. We will be allowed inside, but until then, no cameras, no broadcasting.
Where can we get more coverage?
WIBC.com.
Donnie Burgess from the WIBC newsroom. Donnie, great job.
Thanks, Donnie.
Thank you.
More legal stuff, Nige. In the state of New York, another day of trying to find impartial jurors
for Donald Trump's hush money trial, right? In Manhattan, right? Okay, you and your, as you always say, you and your drugs. Impartial jurors, my ass.
It's actually going the wrong direction now. Two other Trump trial jurors have been excused. One didn't want to be made public when this thing was over, and another one was released because a background search found that they'd been arrested in the past for tearing down Republican yard signs and ads.
Ah, well. And these were people that were already selected to be?
Yes.
On?
The process had said that they were completely impartial.
Okay. Wow.
Meanwhile, on The View, now, spoiler, Nige, because I know you go home in the evening and you watch The View that recorded.
Now that Tucker Carlson's no longer nightly broadcasting, I will buy DVR The View.
Former federal prosecutor Sonny Hostin fears that the worst thing could possibly happen here: a Trump supporter sneaks onto that jury.
They are never going to find someone that doesn't know about the former twice impeached loser president, right? They're never going to find that. But what I did find also interesting about my Super Bowl is that the legal teams will be checking the jurors' social media profiles to see if they can assess the truthfulness and intention of what they said during voir dire, which is their questioning. And I think that's really, really important, because if you start liking Trump, say you follow Trump stuff on social media, can you be impartial? I don't really think so. And I think what could happen in a case like this is if you have someone, and we were talking about this morning, someone named Clay Travis is sort of telling people to get onto that jury. You get one person that sneaks onto that jury with untoward feelings, that person can hang that jury.
How do you sneak onto a jury? You have to be called.
Well, you lie. You lie. You say, hate Trump, but I can be impartial, and I this than that.
She didn't seem to be too worried about the quote-unquote impartial jurors that were removed.
Correct. She's upset that the playing field might be even. That's what really, gets to her. The fact that somebody might actually fight fire with fire in this situation. Because let's be honest, nobody is impartial when it comes to Donald Trump.
Nobody. Nobody.
Nobody. Today is a very special day on the calendar.
Really?
I'm surprised people are actually at work today. It's National High Five Day.
Oh, hey. Happy High Five Day, Hammer.
No one knows for sure when the very first high five happened, but the credit usually goes to former Major League Baseball player and Cubs manager Dusty Baker and his old teammate Glenn Burke. They were playing for the Dodgers 47 years ago, and they smacked hands during their last game of the season on October 2nd, and ESPN did one of those 30 for 30 shorts about it. Dusty Baker actually pretty modest about it.
No, I didn't invent the high five. All I did was respond to Glenn.
And on the on-deck circle was Glenn Burke, the excited rookie. Glenn put his arm high in the air, and Dusty wasn't sure what to do, so he slapped it.
You can go anywhere around the world, and people know what that is. Everyone wants that moment, and the high five made it accessible to everybody. When you look at how it's changed the world, and it's a universal symbol for all of us to share.
Sometimes you don't know why you do some of the things you do, especially when you're extremely happy. You just respond to each other.
I think it's hilarious that nobody was high-fiving before 1977, apparently.
It was a low-five type of thing back then, but the high-five, Dusty Baker. So my question to you, what's the greatest high-five in history?
When Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five the blind guy on American Idol.
That's it. That's the only answer I will accept. That is 100% right.
Listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Now fired up for a little Pacer playoff action. Starting, you got the schedule in front of you?
I do. So game one of the 7-game series against Milwaukee. Game one tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Milwaukee. That is on TNT. Now I believe Bally Sports Indiana will have some of these first round games. So if you want to hear Chris Denari on the call, I think you'll have those options for round one, I believe. Maybe somebody can correct me on that. But nationally, TNT, game one, 7 p.m. tomorrow. And then Sunday night at Milwaukee, that's an 8:30 p.m. start on NBA TV. Now, the game's back here in Indy, and I'm fired up for this. Next Friday. So it's an early start. I've never seen a 5:30 p.m. tip-off before.
What?
But that's what's happening a week from this Friday as Game 3 makes its way to Indy. 5:30.
5:30 tip-off at Gamebridge?
On ESPN.
That's a week from tomorrow.
Yes.
That seems strange to me unless, like, is there a bunch of different playoff games that need to be aired and they're trying to get it in as early as possible?
I think ESPN has 4 playoff games they're going to be airing that day, and this is the first one. But 5:30 is a pretty early start.
Yeah, downtown will be hopping.
I've missed that. That's what I've missed about the Pacers being in the playoffs. Not the fact that I'm a Pacers fan and I want to see him do well, but I miss seeing, you know, the city with the weather getting a little warmer, people sitting outside at, you know, Coach's Tavern and all Tin Roof and all those places getting ready.
Was hopping a little bit of a dated description?
Hopping?
Allison, you're Gen Z. Somebody says
all out.
Downtown was hopping.
Hopping. I miss it.
I think I regret the use of the term hopping there.
Okay.
So just let that be known.
Now, what was it Nige said yesterday that he got completely mocked and laughed at?
Off air, he called Machine Gun Kelly Shotgun.
Shotgun Kelly. I think really
this is just
him. This is all Nigel being upset at us mocking him yesterday. Shotgun Kelly.
And it was an on-air. It was when somebody offered me an illicit drug. They asked me if I'd like to party.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm standing there. I'm standing there with a red Solo cup full of keg beer. And this other dude, you like to party?
Yeah.
I like the party, man. Cheers. I actually said cheers.
It's really hopping here.
Right. See, I don't think you were bothered by hopping at all. I just think you felt like you were getting picked on yesterday for party and Shotgun Kelly.
Have you heard of this guy, Shotgun Kelly? Wow.
5:30 start next Friday. My kids are going to the game. The Hammer Boys got tickets.
They're nice.
Go and make some noise. And then game 4 will be Sunday, a week from this Sunday, 7 p.m. That game's on TNT. So Friday and Sunday night action for the Pacers here in Indy. Man, I'm here for it. I miss being in the playoffs.
Yes.
If you're looking for a reason to drink tonight, if National High Five Day wasn't enough for you, which it should be, how about this? 26 years ago today, this happened.
With the first pick of the draft, the Indianapolis Colts select quarterback, University of Tennessee, Peyton Manning.
Right on.
26 years ago today, there were a lot of people that wanted the Colts to pick Ryan Leaf. Leaf was bigger, he was stronger, he was faster.
Don't talk to me, all right?
I think the Colts made the right decision.
Right.
Let me ask you this, as a Colts fan,
yes.
Does it bother you at all that it seems like Peyton Manning himself considers himself more of a Bronco than a Colt these days?
I never thought about it like that.
He still lives in Colorado.
You know what? A bunch of those Colts players, ones I know, ones we're friends with, still live in Indy to this day. Peyton, maybe he'd still be here if he hadn't gotten traded to Denver. Who knows?
Well, he didn't get traded. He got cut.
Or he got cut. Yeah. So I had such a good time, that era in my life, watching that team for all those years, that I hold no ill will towards anybody for going other places or living in other spots. Right. There are a ton of Colts that still live here, though, from that era.
I don't have any ill will at all, because Peyton Manning built some buildings here in downtown Indy. Without him, some of these buildings don't get built.
Well, without the taxpayer money.
That, too. But it does sting a little bit, right?
Really? Yeah, not for me.
He's got a statue here. He's got a hospital here. Yeah. His number's retired here.
That's an interesting question.
But every time you see him, he's at Broncos games. His kids have Bronco jerseys on. He lives out in Colorado. He's going to Nuggets games. He considers himself a Bronco because I think he's still ticked off that he got cut. He wanted to come back to the Colts.
And what an amazing accomplishment. Getting cut, going, signing with Denver, and then winning a Super Bowl with another team?
Yeah, made two more, won one of them.
Amazing.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
All right, Hammer. An update on the Senate impeachment. Quote-unquote impeachment of DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Well, the update is it's not happening in the Senate. Right?
Well, that sucks. The House passed it through, but the Senate, not even really looking to move on it. Right?
No, they tabled it. There's not going to be a quote-unquote trial.
So
it's done. It's a disgrace. I mean, he's one of the main reasons why the southern border is so porous is because of the Mayorkas.
Now, Nigel, he said everything was fine and the border is secure. He said that at a hearing under oath. Now,
really?
He's clearly lying, which, if anything, you could impeach him the way Bill Clinton was impeached for perjury, because the statistics show the border's not secure. It's anything but secure, but it is what it is. I am going to miss having the dramatic vote reading, yay, nay, the roll call of the Senate. We're not even going to get that, and I think that is what got Ted Cruz fired up.
Hundreds and even thousands of women being sexually assaulted by human traffickers. The consequences have been enriching the Mexican drug cartels to a level never before seen in history. In 2018, the drug cartels made roughly $500 million from human trafficking. In 2022, they made $13 billion. The single greatest friend the human traffickers have ever had has been Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas. Because under their open border policies, the drug cartels have seen their revenues rise 2,600%.
Now, mind you, the Democrats still have the numbers in the Senate. It's not like, you know, they're afraid that the minority is going to happen. They've got the majority, and they're still afraid to have a vote. What does that say about Mayorkas? They're afraid a couple Democrats might say, you know what, this guy does suck.
Because it's a losing issue for Democrats. I mean, that's why they're always talking about Donald Trump and some non-disclosure agreements and the campaign finance laws, because they don't have anything on the border, because it's awful. It's open. It's porous. I mean, you should go back. We don't have time to play it now, but Rand Paul asking Mayorkas why Laken Riley's killer was paroled into the U.S., and he refused to answer. It was sickening, actually, to watch that. It was infuriating.
And with this being an election year, you know, midterms not that far away, just a couple years away, you have this roll call vote. You get folks on the record
yes.
of whether or not you think this total zero is doing a good job or not. Because if you're a Democrat and you feel like you have to say, you know, he's doing a good job for party's sake, that's going to be used against you. And man, it's not popular at all right now to be Team Mayorkas. Jeff Bezos, Amazon founder, one of, if not the richest man in the world. I know it goes back and forth between him and Elon.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos, his new Earth Fund, has launched a $100 million challenge to fix climate change issues with AI.
Earth Fund? Is that somewhat akin to the Human Fund?
A donation has been made in your honor to the Human Fund.
A la George Costanza. That sounds about as legit.
The Earth Fund, $100 million challenge, looking to see who can use AI in some capacity to help climate change issues. This was a statement that Bezos made. Quote, can modern AI help counter climate change and nature loss? And if so, how? That's the question we hope to answer. Now, this grand challenge is basically a big collaboration led by Bezos and the fine folks of the Earth Fund to see which scientists or tech gurus can use AI to help make the world a better place.
Wonderful. That's a donation has been made in my name to the Earth Fund.
Now, I don't think you're the only person that doesn't really understand what's going on here. Here to
really
share
don't.
Their perspective on this $100 million challenge to use AI to help climate change, here is AI Joe Biden.
Oh.
I'm not sure what, you know, Jeff Beetlejuice is talking about. Nobody even knows what AI stands for. I think it means anal inspection. But if Jeff Bozo thinks it can help the environment, I'll tell Dr. Jill to slap on a rubber glove and reach up the old presidential pooper and not stop until she gets to my dentures.
That's AI Joe Biden not really understanding the mission of what's
Lord.
Going on here. So according to loudwire.com, they've got a list of the 75 greatest rock songs of the 90s. Now, they put this list together, and it looks like it was alphabetical order.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's not like they don't have, like, it's not, like, ranked.
Right.
They're just listing 75 of the best rock songs.
So I'm going to go down the list here. Coming in at number one, again, they're not saying this was the best. It's just alphabetical. Tell me if you remember this song. Aerosmith from the Armageddon soundtrack. I don't want to miss a thing.
Is that a rock song? It's more of a, maybe a rock ballad. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
Some others, Wood by Alice in Chains.
Hell yeah.
No Rain by Blind Melon.
Excellent.
Coming
Shannon
in,
Hoon and the lead singer that's dead from Lafayette, Indiana, product.
Yes. Now he's dead, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's gone.
Yes, he is. Coming in at number four, a band that will be here, I believe, in August.
Oh, yeah. I love this song.
Blink 182.
That was 90s?
1999.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
How about this one? Coming in at number seven on their list.
Oh, yeah. I would have emphasized that with a hell yeah. Creed, Higher. Are you kidding?
get a Scott Stapp impression you can break out? That's pretty good.
La, 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 what do you say?
Roger's heard the word you know.
Might have been even better.
Number 14, Nine Inch Nails Closer.
Oh, yeah.
1994. Now, when I hear this song, I think about Donald Trump talking about fracking.
Help me get away from myself. I don't want to frack you with you.
The Donald Trump fracking remix.
I forgot about that. I thought Allison was... I wondered where you're going with that. I thought we were going to have to use the dump button again. That non-existent dump button over there.
So you're not buying I Don't Want to Miss a Thing was one of the 75 greatest rock songs of the 90s.
Yeah, and then Friday I'm in Love from The Cure. That's I don't count that as rock. Sorry. That they had that on there. Flagpole Sitta, Harvey Danger for sure. Love that song. Foo Fighters on there. Everlong.
There's so many other songs from Aerosmith you could have picked. Like, they had more songs in the 90s, didn't they? Wasn't like...
I'm going to have to... I would have to go
Living on the
check.
Edge I mean, or Pink. Like, they put an album out in the 90s, I thought. I think they...
But that was the most successful. So maybe they're... I mean, that was obviously one of their biggest hits.
This is the Hammer and Nigel Show. We've got tickets to give away to go see Aerosmith January 16th at Gamebridge. It's their Peace Out Farewell Tour. Diana happened to be caller number 9. Diana, how are you?
I'm just fine.
Diana, you an Aerosmith fan? You like them?
Yes.
Good. Sound excited. All right, here we go. Make sure your radio's turned down. This is how we're going to play the game. It's called Steven Tyler or He's an Outsider. I'm going to give you a fact about someone. It will either be about Aerosmith frontman Steven Tyler or someone running for political office right now that thinks of themselves as an outsider. You get 2 out of 3. I'll give you the tickets, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Number 1, Steven Tyler or He's an Outsider. Appeared on Saturday Night Live to sing the Wayne's World theme song with Wayne and Garth.
Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler, there we go. All right, get this right. We're going to throw a party here. Steven Tyler or He's an Outsider wrote the lyrics to Dude Looks Like a Lady after mistaking Motley Crue frontman Vince Neil as a blonde woman.
Steven Tyler.
Yes,
there it is.
There we go.
Is that urban legend or is that true?
If you do a wiki, do a Wikipedia search on Dude Looks Like a Lady, it's up there, and I've heard that story before.
Wikipedia, not the most trustworthy source, usually, but...
Then I find something else, Nige.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe Snopes. Snopes ain't no better, sorry.
Community Notes, you want to reach out to your source at Community Notes, Nige? Diana, I'm sorry you have to deal with this crap.
I love it.
You are big winner.
It's worth it for the tickets, I'll tell you.
I don't know who's that laughing in the background with you, but whoever it is, they're driving to the concert. They're driving because you're going to have some fun.
The morning show.
What's that?
Southside Tom from the Kendall and Casey.
I harass Rob all the time on the phone.
I've never heard of any of you. Have fun at the concert, everybody.
That's good.
We'll have more tickets to give away tomorrow here on the Hammer and Nigel Show.
That whole exchange was awkward.
Yes, very, very awkward.
Greg Doyle thought that exchange was awkward.
We'll touch on that coming up here in just a few minutes, just after 4 o'clock. Real quick, before we hit a break, though,
yes,
I was told by our promotions team that 45 tickets are left. Just 45 for the Tales from the Track event presented by Relay Indiana. Monday, May 20th, Vision Loft at Stutz. Scott Dixon, the Iceman, he's going to be our special guest. This is Monday before the Indy 500.
Yeah, it's Indy 500 week.
We kick off race week by having one of the best racers of all time in the IndyCar series as our guest, the 2008 Indy 500 champion, Scott Dixon. We're going to have dinner, spirits provided by Hotel Tango, and then you and I, Nigel, we're going to talk to him for about 45 minutes or so, have a good time, a lot of laughs.
Question and answer session with the audience as well.
And at the end, Scott Dixon is going to take pictures with everybody. You know, he'll sign stuff, take pictures. This really is a bucket list thing for somebody that loves the 500 in your family. So get to the events page of WIBC.com, scroll down and look for Tales from the Track, or just go to the Hammer and Nigel Show Facebook and Twitter. We've got it pinned to the top so you can find it right away. Click the link, buy your tickets now. This is a really cool event. We're only selling 200 tickets. It's kind of an intimate type of deal, and only 45 are left. So do not wait. If you wait, it might sell out. WIBC.com, Tales from the Track with Hammer and Nigel and our friend Scott Dixon. All right, we've got an update on the weather and Greg Doyle next.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
My name is Nigel. That's Jason Hammer right over there with a special guest on the hotline.
Marcus Bailey is a meteorologist for our news partners at Wish TV 8. Marcus, I think we've been spoiled most of this week. It's been good temperatures, you know, around 80, 70. Yep. Evening time, windows have been open. Mm-hmm. But tonight, hearing some chatter, little scuttlebutt that we may get some action.
Yeah, so what I'm watching right now, guys, is there's a pretty good complex of storms not far away, kind of getting going in the corner of western Illinois, northeastern Missouri, and southeastern Iowa, so right along the Mississippi River. And it's starting to kind of gain some steam here. Now, it's not particularly fast right now. I think we've got several more hours before we have to worry about anything. But that line's going to be heading our way tonight. Most of our central Indiana area has some sort of a risk for severe weather. You know, we do it on a kind of a scale of 1 to 5. We're in the 2, basically, squarely in the 2 out of 5 range. The better severe weather parameters are going to be kind of closer to Evansville in our state. But I think it's going to be a damaging wind threat mainly when this arrives, and there could be a few hailstones. Tornado threat is low. It's not zero. I want to stress that. But I think there's going to be more kind of a linear event, meaning just a big long line of storms and not some of these isolated supercells. So it's probably going to be more of a wind threat. Probably arriving by around as early as 8 o'clock this evening. I'm leaning maybe an hour or two later, and then wrapping up by around 2 a.m. Here for this evening.
Hey, Marcus, talk about the month of April. Did we break records in terms of rainfall?
Well, obviously, it's not done yet. We're not quite in record territory, but for the first 15 days, Nige, we did set at a point of the wettest start to the month.
It certainly was.
Now, thankfully, we haven't added too much into that. But, I mean, we were at 6 inches of rainfall, and a lot of that fell in about a 3-day span, which is why we had a lot of flooding issues, a lot of standing water. So it has been exceptionally wet for the first half. I've noticed, to your point, you know, still some areas that are kind of prone to flooding still have a little bit of water. I think this system, thankfully, now we're going to get some heavy downpours at times. So it may agitate some of those areas a little bit, but I don't think you're going to be creating any new flooding issues because we've had, to Hammer's point earlier, it's been so nice this last week. We've had some time to kind of wring things out a little bit.
Now, when this system comes through tonight, Marcus, again, you're saying it might be in the evening hours.
Yep.
You know, we're talking about anywhere from 8 p.m. till around, you know, midnight after midnight. Yep. This is bringing a cold front through, and I'm looking at the temperatures here. It looks like it might be 20 degrees cooler starting tomorrow, and it might be that way moving forward for a while.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I mean, look, this air has been extremely rare. It's been beautiful. It's been nice. But I know Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, we hit 80 plus 3 days in a row, and we were very close to breaking records. So this is unusual. This warm is unusual this early in the game. Our average high should be in the mid-60s. So we're going to kind of get a snap back to reality a little bit. tomorrow's highs, I think we're probably going to be closer to 60. It's going to be a little breezy, so it's probably going to feel a little cooler than that. But again, it's all relative. You're coming off 70s and 80s, so it's probably going to be a bit of a shock to the system. I think something else important, while it's going to be quiet this weekend, we'll have highs in the mid and upper 50s. It'll still be nice to be outside. It's just going to be kind of on the crisp side. But what I noticed last weekend, I was running some errands, and I was out at the hardware store, and there are a bunch of people getting plants. And I think Sunday morning from Indy North, we might be chilly enough that we could have a little bit of frost.
Frost warning.
So if you're one of those people that did get those plants, like, I mean, we're not going to be in this long term. We're our days are numbered for that kind of cold. But it's going to be one of those mornings you go to, before you go to bed Saturday night, you're going to want to cover up those plants because it could be cold enough that it might do a little damage to them.
All right, one more time here, Marcus. What are we looking at tonight?
Okay, tracking a line of storms that will arrive 8 o'clock probably in western Indiana. Metro area is probably going to be closer to around 9 or 10 p.m. for the window of the beginning of the storms, 2 a.m. for the end of the storms. Damaging winds going to be the primary concern, and then there could be some hailstones. There is also a low-end tornado threat, maybe one or two that develop within that line. So just make sure, because it is late night, make sure you have a way to get those alerts.
Marcus Bailey, meteorologist for Wish TV. Marcus, thank you.
Thanks, Ellis.
We are the Hammer and Nigel Show, having a good time with you today.
Always, always.
So we talked yesterday about this Caitlin Clark press conference. It was her welcome to Indy press conference.
Big red carpet rollout for sure.
Right. Tyrese Haliburton of the Pacers was there. We heard from Caitlin. For the most part, pretty solid day. I say for the most part because there's somebody that did not have a positive experience yesterday, and that's Greg Doyle. He is a sports writer for the Indy Star, and he's getting beat up on a national level now.
International. It's this story is in the Daily Mail, UK edition.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw it in the New York Post earlier this morning. So we're going to play you the audio.
No, here. I can't listen to this. It's so cringeworthy.
So this is Greg Doyle talking for the first time to the Fever's new draft pick, Caitlin Clark. And at one point, he makes the heart symbol with his hands, okay? So take a listen.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
Making the symbol.
You like that?
I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, cool. Let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine.
Oh, why do you keep making me listen to that? That is so cringe.
Doing it to me and we'll get along just fine.
Oh my gosh. I know you mentioned it briefly yesterday. I didn't think it was, I think when like Dave Portnoy called him a sexist pervert on Twitter, I think that's kind of when it started to go viral and go national, then international.
Right.
Oh man, it's so awkward. It's like listening to nails screech down a chalkboard.
Because the heart symbol she makes is something that she does with her family. Like her mom and dad go to a lot of these games, right?
So she'll make a three-pointer or win a game or whatever, and she makes this heart symbol with her hands.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And Greg Doyle feels like all of a sudden he's family too because he's the big ball-headed sports writer in the town, and he wants Caitlin to respond to him in the same way. It's very weird. And you know what? I've heard worse things at a press conference. It's not like he asked her, you know, what color her undies were or something like that. But the thing with Doyle is he's the first one to pick on somebody for something else. So listen, payback is a you know what. Now it's coming back to him. How do you think Carson Wentz feels right now?
He said some terrible, vicious things. Printed them in print in the Indy Star about Carson Wentz and his back status and COVID and people that didn't want to take the vaccine in general. And it was all rubbish. It was all wrong. I mean, Caitlin Clark got an apology and he's ironically now getting tons of clicks off his Caitlin Clark apology. But I'm more outraged at the car. I muted him on Twitter. After the Carson Wentz stuff and the COVID stuff and saying, you know, we're going to have to put, you know, mobile morgues and the body bags will be stacked up outside the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I cut all that. That COVID fear porn.
He was a COVIDian. He was a total COVIDian.
And so with this, you're right. It's not the most over the top thing I've ever heard, but he fanboyed out. And it was awkward, and he embarrassed himself, and it went viral. And now he's trying to benefit from his awkwardness by writing an article. You look on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, and it's gotten millions and millions of views. He's been ratioed a little bit.
Right.
But I don't know, man. I mean, if he's getting the clicks, what's most important in that business, man? I'm not saying it's right. I don't like the guy, or I guess I should say I don't like his opinions. But boy, those clicks are piling up.
I'm not somebody that wants people fired, even the people I don't like.
No.
I am not calling for him to be fired at all. But there is something delicious about things coming full circle. If you're going to be the flamethrower, if you're going to be the controversial guy, and you're going to go after Carson Wentz, and you're going to go after, you know, other sports personalities in the city, you damn well better be ready when it comes back to you. Because that's what's happening right now. You know, he tries to be Mr. Tough Guy, and he surrounds himself with all the little liberal butt sniffers over at the Indy Star, and they probably take it because he's the face of the paper. But once you get outside that bubble, you just become a weirdo. And that's how Caitlin Clark was looking at him. It's like, yeah, you're old enough to be my dad. Why would I make a heart symbol to you? I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, there's some creepiness to it, for sure.
Right. And again, I am not calling for him to be fired, but it is delicious that it's happening full circle.
I doubt we'd be getting the same grace from him if it were one of us that said it, or if it'd be Clay Travis or Coach Dockage. Wonder if we'd be getting, you know,
right.
He's...
Oh, he'd be doing an article on it now.
Oh, please.
It'd already be out there. He'd be flabbergasted and blah, blah, blah. So what goes around comes around, man. What goes around comes around.
Like, even if she were to come in here in this casual atmosphere that we have on this show, it wouldn't even occur to me to say something like that.
Right.
Trust me, in my 20s, I've said plenty of inappropriate things to chicks, but it was after 10 beers, 5 shots of Jaeger at 2 o'clock in the morning at a bar. I wasn't doing my job at a press conference with the biggest male or female athlete in the world right now.
One of them for sure. So what we've done here at the Hammer and Nigel Show is we've put like some scary movie trailer music behind that press conference. If you didn't think it was cringeworthy before, now imagine this is a movie trailer that you watch before, like a scary movie you're going to in October.
Hi, Caitlin, Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, cool. Let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine.
Oh, don't make me ever have to listen to that awkwardness ever again.
That's creepier than the Blair Witch Project. Good Lord.
Hammer and Nigel presents. Is.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yeah. Is this anything?
All right, let's rock and roll.
Am I allowed to ask you how we play this game?
I think you're allowed. I think it's okay.
How do we play Is This Anything?
I'm going to run some different stories by you. You break down all of the information and give us a verdict. Is the story anything or not? We start with this. A Target employee went on social media to complain about having to close down the entire store basically by herself in just her second month on the job, mind you. Here's a little clip of what the employee named Ket posted onto TikTok.
There is literally only 4 people working right now, and I'm going to somehow have to close out 24 registers, guest services, and self-checkout. I'm like one of the only people that knows how to do it. There's still no manager. I'm going to have to close the store by myself.
I don't think this is anything. I mean, that's the problem with these kids, these young people, and I've got to go to TikTok and post how I'm being taken advantage of by the system. I mean, use it as an opportunity, kid. Show your worth.
Right.
Show us what you got.
Step up.
I mean, like, use it as an opportunity to show the people in charge, hey, I'm worth something. You're going to want to keep me around. You're going to want to promote me. But instead, she goes to TikTok and complains that she's going to be there all night by herself, which is a great movie, by the way. Career Opportunities, John Hughes. John Hughes' script there with Jennifer Connelly and Frank Whaley. Yeah, they get trapped into the Target all night together, which is a great movie. But, yeah, I would say my advice is to stay off TikTok and do your best.
Milk them for the OT. If they've only got four people in there, sure, then just go register to register. And if they don't have an overtime program, if you're like in that position where you don't get OT, then you get a couple extra days off then. Take advantage of it. Use it as leverage against them. Is this anything? A high school student in Ohio will miss out on her senior prom after getting suspended over bringing in a bag of corn chips to school. The snack was not permitted because a teacher was severely allergic. And the student now has been suspended and can't go to the senior prom. Here's the student's mother, Amber, talking about what happened with her daughter.
She missed out on going to the MBCTC prom, and now we have found out that she's not going to be able to go to her homeschool prom over a bag of potato chips. Allie had had Takis chips on the school bus. She was hungry. Somebody gave her some chips. She opened them on the school bus. She ate them. She had two chips left back in her bag. She got off the bus. She ate the remainder of the two chips. She put the trash in a trash can. She went to her class. The school principal called her down to the office, and at that point they asked her if she ate the chips. She said yes, and they suspended her for 5 days.
Oh, this is stupid. That's outrageous. I mean, for a bag of chips?
Yes.
Like, if she would have taken the chips and poured them out all over the teacher's desk that was allergic to the corn or whatever is in those chips to make him allergic, okay, yeah, suspended. I mean, can't you just discern, go case by case basis with this kind of thing?
Right.
She ate some chips and threw them away in the trash. And boy, the detective work of this principal walking by a trash can and noticing somebody brought in chips. How do you even notice something like that? That's ridiculous.
The high school principal, Matlock, apparently. Matlock. Is this anything? A Florida man took a trip overseas to Switzerland and ended up with a $143,000 phone bill.
Whoops!
Apparently, the entire time he was roaming and got hit with those massive charges, here is Renee talking about what happened.
So I called, and the girl put me on hold for a while, and she says, let me check this out and get back to you. She gets back, yeah, no, this is a good bill. What do you mean it's a good bill? Well, this is what you owe. You're crazy.
Yeah, you're crazy if you think I'm going to write a check for $143,000. Apparently, he didn't know his phone was on roam, or I didn't know phones still did roaming anyway. I don't even quite compute that. He's been a T-Mobile customer for 30 years, hired an attorney, and they fired off a letter, and then lo and behold, they credited his account for the full amount.
Well, good. Happy ending, then. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Well, Hammer, hasn't been a very good week for IPS students. Hasn't been a very good week for IPS. First, we had the story earlier this week that some sort of fight club was happening at one of the IPS schools with seven-year-olds. And now, what happened at Christmas Attucks?
So, you had a situation where a couple students got into an altercation, and then parents and adults got into the school to confront the other one. So a mother and two adults are accused of entering Crispus Attucks High School to fight a female student. The mom is charged with battery and disorderly conduct. Now, I'm looking at the court documents here. On April 10th, two students, one male, one female, had some sort of verbal disagreement in class.
Yeah.
Started talking smack to each other, a boy and a girl. The male student then said he had people waiting to fight the female student. So they went by some door in the lobby of the school, and the male student let in his mom and two other adults into the school, and they confronted the female. And witnesses say these adults began attacking and punching the female student. When other students tried to break up the fight, they started fighting other students in the class.
Boy.
Police were called, and now the mom is charged with 3 counts of battery and 1 count of disorderly conduct. The other 2 adults have not been charged.
I don't know exactly the circumstances surrounding whatever happened here or the context. I'm thinking if somebody was habitually picking on my daughter and they were a male and they were older, there wouldn't be a whole hell of a lot to stop me from trying to put my hands around the aggressor's neck.
Right.
I would probably do everything in my power to make sure the school handled it. But if it's not getting handled, I'm not excusing what these people are doing. I'm just saying I'm looking at it from one aspect.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Listen, Billy Bob Thornton was right to punch that kid in Bad Santa. I've said that before. Billy Bob Thornton was absolutely right to punch that blonde kid in Bad Santa.
And I don't know how old these students are, by the way. I don't know what age range the students are that were in the altercation that let their mom in. Either.
I mean, if it's in high school, yeah, probably 15 to 18.
Okay.
But when you're sneaking into a school with multiple people,
yeah,
throwing haymakers,
yeah,
and then when people try to break it up, you start fighting them too. It's hard to justify that, right? Like every parent wants to stick up and support their kid. I get it. But when people are trying to break up the fight and you start fighting other high school students.
In a school, you're not supposed to, you can't just walk into a school.
Right.
The kid let his parents, his mom in, and 2 other adults. Now, the 2 other adults haven't been charged.
Correct.
Just
but the mom has been charged here. This is certainly not good news. Potentially thousands of people who tried to dial 911 last night didn't get any success. They were left helpless because there was an outage across 4 different states, and pretty much the entire state of South Dakota was impacted here.
Wow.
Now listen to this. The emergency call system provider, Lumen, L-U-M-E-N, said this was all caused by a third party installing a light pole. So one light pole being installed knocked out 911 service for an entire state and parts of 3 others, Nigel.
I mean, if that can happen just on an accident when some idiot's installing a light pole, imagine what somebody who knows what they're doing can do with the power grid.
That's a great point. And the good news is that we know everybody who's in our country, so we don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, nobody on the terrorist watch list trying to get through the southern border. Sure, nothing like that.
A Lumen spokesperson told ABC News, quote, some customers in Nevada, South Dakota, and Nebraska experienced an outage due to a third-party company installing a light pole unrelated to our services. Like, isn't that a problem, though, of like one hillbilly can back over a light pole? 911 service goes out for an entire state?
You would think, yes.
I don't think that's supposed to be the way it is. But it brings us to great moments in 911 history.
Yeah.
This was, I believe, in Florida, where a woman saw somebody doing something in her backyard.
There's a guy out on the street, and he is, like, really screwed up. I don't know if it's, like, basalt or what it is, but he's trying to get into my neighbor's car. He ran up on us. We have children. He's talking about he's God. He's, like, obviously tripping. He's in my neighbor's yard.
His pants are down, or?
Yes, he is trying to a tree.
Great moments in 911 history.
So if you think you're having a bad day, at least you've never had to call 911 on the hood of your car that has been stolen, that's barreling down the highway.
Yes, 911. What's your emergency?
My life is in danger. I'm at the top of my car.
Oh, man.
It's like something from a movie, right?
That's crazy.
Something Tom Cruise would do in a Mission Impossible movie.
He wouldn't call 911, though. He'd punch through the windshield.
That's true.
Strangle the driver.
Great moments in 911 history. I think this is my favorite of all time, when a certain someone broke into a Pizza Hut.
No.
High point 911, what is your emergency?
Yes, this is Jesus Christ, and I just broke into the Pizza Hut. I broke the window in, and I'm here. Jesus is here now. He's back to earth.
All right, and so you don't work there?
No, I just broke in, had a pizza. I'm Jesus.
And what was your name again?
My name is Jesus.
What's your last name, Jesus?
Christ.
Okay. And what do you look like?
I look like Jesus. What else am I supposed to look like?
Why'd you do that?
Because I'm Jesus. I can do whatever I want. We're tired of Judases on this earth. We're going to clean this earth up. So what are you up to?
Man, where do you live at?
I don't. I'm from heaven.
How'd you get over to the Pizza Hut?
I'm from heaven, sir.
Okay. And did you break a front window?
Yeah, I broke the door window, sir.
And you eat a pizza?
Yeah. Had a Mountain Dew.
Jesus, Mountain Dew guy. A lot of people didn't know that.
Oh.
Jesus Christ, Mountain Dew guy.
I wonder if he had any toppings on his pizza.
There's this thread going on Reddit. Again, I've been going down rabbit holes on Reddit while I've been sitting on the can lately.
Thank you.
It's like the modern chat house, man. It's still kind of wild there, but it's entertaining. And the topic came up was, what was something you've never done, never seen, never eaten, never been to that would just blow people's minds? Right? Something that would blow people's minds.
Somebody.
Like, here are some of the answers people gave. One guy said he's never had McDonald's before in his entire life.
And I would call that man a liar.
One person said he's never kissed anyone.
Aww.
There was one guy that said he's never been to a dentist. We call them folks from Kentucky. One guy said he's never been out of state. Just always been landlocked where he lives. So my question to the brain trust in this room, what's something you've never done that might blow people's minds?
I've never been out of North America. I mean, I've been to Canada and Cancun, and that's it. I've never seen 1 second of the TV show Big Bang Theory.
But you like Young Sheldon with your daughter.
I love watching Young Sheldon with the kiddos, but I've never seen a millisecond of probably one of the biggest TV shows of the past 20 years, right? 10
right.
to 20 years.
Okay.
Fake fan.
Allison?
I've never seen Titanic.
Really?
What?
What?
Wow, that was a bigger bombshell than I thought it'd be. Yeah, I haven't.
You're a chick. It's the law.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's really long, right? That's part of my
long.
Issue. And anytime I have time to watch a long movie, I don't want to watch a sad movie.
Right. Yeah, it's not a feel-good story.
Yeah.
I think we all know how it ends.
I kind of get the gist. I know about the floating door and the blue ruby or whatever it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So our question to you guys, can you beat that? What's something you have never done, never seen, never listened to, never experienced that might blow people's minds? 239-9393. We'll open it up here. 239-9393. Do you have anything that could beat Allison's never seeing the movie Titanic?
It's impressive.
That's a big one.
Thank
Your
you.
Calls next. So the question we have presented to you, what's something that you've never done, never experienced, never listened to, never watched that might surprise people, might blow people's minds? Christine, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel show. What about you, Christine?
My husband is 60 years old, and he has never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And
what?
He is one of eight children.
Does he like peanut butter? Is he allergic to it or something?
No.
Just never got around to it.
Sounds good.
Wow. That's
never a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That's
and he's
wild.
One of eight kids, so you'd think peanut butter and jelly would go around the house a lot.
Wow, that's something right there. Thank you, Christine. Now, Allison dropped the bombshell on us before we went to break that even though she is a woman, she has never seen the movie Titanic.
I don't know if being a woman has nothing to do with that.
Oh, come on. It's a chick flick, Allison. It's one of the greatest chick flicks of all time. And last time I checked, you're a chick.
All right. Well, calm down. No, but I have not seen Titanic.
Now you're getting fired up.
Yeah, we're getting into Greg Doyle territory.
Yeah, everybody's
here.
Getting a little sensitive around here.
You know, I've never made the number one draft pick in the NBA feel awkward.
Because apparently that's a thing now that some people are doing. Elaine. Maine, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show. What about you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I've eaten at a lot of fast food places, but I have never had Taco Bell.
Wow.
Really?
Another big one.
Now, why? I'm sure you've driven by one a few times. Your curiosity never got to you?
No, I've even purchased Taco Bell for my boys, but I've never ate it myself.
Do you
I've
like?
Also never had Chick-fil-A.
What?
Oh!
Whoa!
That's even bigger than Taco Bell.
Yeah. So, do you like Mexican food? Because there are some times where it's the only thing open, like late at night.
Absolutely, love Mexican food. There's a great place at Trader's Point that we go to.
Okay. Man, this is interesting. Brad, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show. What about you, Brad?
Well, guys, let me start off. I've ate enough Taco Bell to cover your lane. I've never watched Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. You know what? I have not either. Brad, I am with you. You and I are going to belly up at a bar, and we're going to watch something else while everybody else gets into Game of Thrones.
I'm down.
Nigel, did you ever get into the game?
Yeah, I think I told the story. We just had our firstborn child. We just had our kid, and we started watching it. It's just like an awfully violent, gross, just disturbing show.
Like The View.
Yeah, it's right. It's up there.
But you guys are dudes. It's a dude show. You haven't seen Game of Thrones, Hammer?
Is it a dude show?
I think it's both. I think both men and women got into that one.
Now, if you want to have that reaction to me about Roadhouse, you can. And I'm talking about the original, not the remake.
Which I liked. I liked the remake, by the way.
Have not seen the remake, but I have seen the original.
Okay. Jake Gyllenhaal.
We got Jill standing by. Jill, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Not only have I never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but I've also never had a hot dog.
Whoa!
Wow.
These are pretty good.
Like, my mind is being blown here because I think I've had all of these things in the last 7 days. Taco Bell, hot dog, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Jody. Jody is up next. What's up, Jody?
I have never been on social media. Never looked at it unless my wife showed me a video. That's it.
Very nice.
Standing ovation from everybody in this room right now.
You're not missing a thing.
You are the wisest person here, Jody. Well done. Michael, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show. What about you?
Mike. Just turned 72 last week. I've never been in a fight. I've never hit anybody, and nobody's ever hit me.
Good for you.
That's good. That's awesome. Nige, you ever been in a fight?
No, I don't think so.
Allison,
I got punched in the face on the school bus in elementary school once.
That doesn't count. You were kids. Allison, fight?
Just with my younger sister.
Okay.
We used to physically wrestle a lot.
Pete, you get the last word here, Pete.
Yeah, I think I got everybody topped. Long time caller, first time listener.
Hey, you.
So, 58 years old, I've never had a beer, never drank anything, never been drunk, and my dad owned a bar.
Good for you!
That's some willpower right there, baby. That's some willpower.
There's times where I think I should probably start.
In this day and age, you might want to think about it.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
I've been thinking about it a lot lately.
Hammer and Nigel.
You believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
My name is Nigel. That's Jason Hammer. How do you refer to this guy, Judge Mark Stoner, Indianapolis? What? How do you exactly refer to him as?
Well, I give a timestamp, like I'm about to. It's 5:06 p.m. on the 18th of April, and Judge Mark Stoner is the worst judge in the state of Indiana.
Ah, there you go. That's how you refer to it. Well, you're going to love this one. Judge Stoner finds mother not guilty in the death of her infant daughter after she admitted to smothering the child whilst high on meth.
So she told this to the police.
She admitted it.
She admitted it. But this was what Judge Stoner said in court yesterday.
Court accordingly enters judgment of not guilty, reluctantly. I do hope that you will take the opportunity to get the counseling that you need, to get the counseling for the children that you need, that you learn learn from this behavior, and hopefully the rest of the community learns from this behavior, that you cannot go out and party on the weekend and be with children.
So the judge...
What?
Judge Mark Stoner said this woman did not commit a criminal act of neglect. Now, we're not even talking about murder here, right? She did not even get a guilty verdict on criminal act of neglect. And the judge said that the charges were not appropriate and didn't feel proper evidence was presented, even though she admitted to being high on meth and smothering the child.
And then what did he say at the end? The lesson we're all supposed to learn from this is you can't go out and party on the weekends and be with kids. That's the lesson?
I think most people pull it off just fine, Judge.
Wow. That is why you call him the worst judge in Indiana.
And on top of that, according to the interview she gave with the police, this woman killed her child, her baby, in front of the sibling, the three-year-old, the other daughter. And the three-year-old daughter corroborated the story and told police that she did it in front of her. Smothered her because the mom was tired of the baby crying and killed it. And not guilty was the verdict from the worst judge in the state of Indiana, Mark Stoner. Now, if you're wondering, if you're keeping score at home, if you've got your Mark Stoner bingo card, this is the same Mark Stoner that handed down that bullcrap sentence to Breanne Leith's killer, Elias Dorsey. And he's got a long history of bad decisions. We had FOP President Rick Snyder on our show a couple weeks ago. This was after the Dorsey decision.
This is the same judge, guys, who said the state of Indiana could not meet their burden to prove that the defendant in the killing of Lieutenant Aaron Allen from Southport Police Department knew that Lieutenant Allen was a police officer when he shot him 18 times as he was trying to help him in a car crash and then trying to crawl away as he was being riddled with bullets. He was in a uniform. He couldn't prove that this was an officer. This is the same judge that gave another lenient sentence to a suspect who shot at Indianapolis police officers. After getting out of prison on that crime, he subsequently went on to now be alleged to be the murderer of Officer Noah Chanavez. And now with this, our officers have said enough is enough, and that is why today we called for Judge Mark Stoner to step down from the bench.
And I'm seeing a lot more people, not just police officer families or families of victims, a lot of lawmakers starting to be concerned about what's happening with this rogue judge here in Marion County, Mark Stoner. We had on a Democrat in the state of Indiana recently who is working on some legislation to hold people like this accountable. Like, this should be the one thing that brings the Republicans and the Democrats together here in Indiana. We can fight about education. We can fight about how our money should be spent. But what's happening here is disgusting.
And there's several different groups affiliated with the FOP calling for this judge to step down. It's worth noting.
We have got a good old-fashioned feud, so I think we need some mood music here. This is some heavyweights going at it here.
Literally.
Bill O'Reilly on one side, Rosie O'Donnell on the other side.
Are you making a weight joke there about Rosie?
I can, because I'm fat too. This happened on Fredo's show on News Nation. Chris Cuomo, he's got a show. So he thought, you know what? We're going to get Bill O'Reilly and Rosie O'Donnell together, and we're going to talk about Donald Trump. And both of them, you know, were in split screens. Yeah. So we got to see the reactions. It was pretty good.
Democracy is on trial. It's because without this, we're nothing as a nation. We have to get everyone back together again in some way.
Okay, but Rosie, with all due respect, you're not going to be successful saying that democracy is on trial and anybody who supports Donald Trump is a fascist. You're not. I mean, those people are going to reject you 100%. Donald Trump presided over the country for 4 years, and there was no attack on democracy until January 6th. And that was a large mistake that he made. I don't believe that he was behind it. I think that if that trial ever gets up, he'll be acquitted. There's too much exculpatory evidence.
No way.
But you're not going to bring anybody together demonizing Trump and the people and the 72 million who voted for him.
Now, this was a good, you know, 8-9 minute segment on his show, Chris Cuomo's show. Now, take a listen to this. I want you to listen to this because Rosie O'Donnell, she's not one for hyperbole, but she says that Donald Trump is the worst thing that's ever happened in the history of the United States.
You know, my hope is that we get to continue as a democracy in this country, that we get to have elected officials representing the people as our forefathers created. And what Donald Trump is doing is trying to become an authoritarian, a dictator, and he is the worst thing that ever happened to this nation.
The worst thing that has ever happened to this nation.
She doesn't go on to explain. Like, it's emotion versus facts here. Bill O'Reilly brought facts in the previous clip that we just played before that one. But she doesn't explain how he's going to try to do it and how that's exactly going to work.
And again, I can't stress this enough. She says that Donald Trump is the worst thing that's ever happened. Not 9/11, not Pearl Harbor, not multiple presidents being assassinated, not the Great Depression. Donald Trump is the worst thing that's ever happened.
Right.
So this kind of wraps up with Bill O'Reilly making a challenge, a little bet, a little wager to Rosie.
And there are so many examples that it's ridiculous to try to name them all. And so I forgive the people who were lied to by Mark Burnett about Donald Trump. I forgive them when they are going to see the truth about him and he's going to go to jail.
Well, we'll see in court what is presented. And if you are correct, then we'll have another debate. But I will take a $10,000 bet right now with you, Rosie, to your favorite charity or mine, that Donald Trump will not be convicted of insurrection because he's not charged with it.
Man, that is so cheap, Bill. That is so cheap.
I'm here.
You cheapo.
I'm here to do it.
You cheapo. He wasn't charged with it.
So Fredo jumps in to try to save Rosie from making this bet because she's not smart enough to understand he's not been charged with an insurrection. So with all this talk about Rosie O'Donnell, I thought this would be the perfect time to bring something out of the archives. The classic interview that Donald Trump did, I believe this was on Entertainment Tonight back in the day, with a little special music behind it.
Well, Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting. I mean, both inside and out. You take a look at her, she's a slob. She talks like a truck driver. We're all a little chubby, but Rosie's just worse than most of us. If I were running The View, I'd fire Rosie. I mean, I'd look her right in that fat, ugly face of hers. I'd say, Rosie, you're fired. Rosie is a very unattractive person. If you look inside your heart, I'd like to take some money out of her fat ass pockets. I like to see bad people fail. Rosie failed. I'm happy about it. Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting. Rosie's a person that's very lucky to have her girlfriend. And she better be careful or I'll send one of my friends over to pick up her girlfriend. Why would she stay with Rosie if she had another choice?
A little tribute for Rosie O'Donnell, who's very concerned about our democracy, even though we are a constitutional republic.
Are you really okay with
me? Are you okay?
Everything's gonna be okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm pretty f***ing far from okay.
Are you okay with this? On the Hammer and Nigel.
Oh, yeah! Time Magazine's list of 100 most influential people of 2024. Hammer includes... Dalipa?
Dua Lipa.
That's what I said.
Dalipa. Dalipa's on tour with Shotgun.
Shotgun Kelly? I swear to God, this is the first time I've ever heard that name, Dalipa.
I know you've heard her song. Like, Allison, find Levitating by Dua Lipa. And then we'll play it for Nige here in just
that
a moment.
Was the Lizden coming out in me. Was it? It includes a DeLipa, D-U-A-L-I-P-A. This next one isn't even.
Dua Lipa. Dua Lipa.
Oh, it's Dua Lipa?
I thought it was Lipe.
Lipe? Okay, so 100 most influential people 2024 includes DeLipa, Taraji Henson.
Okay.
Do you know who that is? I don't know who that
is. I do. She's an actress.
Patrick Mahomes, Mark Cuban, and Michael J. Fox. Are you okay with this?
No, I don't care about any of these people.
you don't care about DeLipa?
Dua Lipa, or as the kids would say, DeLipa, yeah. Super hot. So she's got going for her. Do you have the song, Allison? I'm levitating.
My daughter knows every word of this song. Now and just because she listens, to the kiddie station that plays those songs.
But no, I don't care about this. I'm not okay with this because I don't care what Time Magazine thinks is influential. Like in my life, the most influential person is the guy that owns Taco Bell. The most influential people in my life are the owners of Urban One that have not fired me yet.
There you go.
That's the most influential people on my list. I just don't care about any of these celebrities.
A poll of 2,000 people who recently got married found 20% had cold feet and thought about calling the whole thing off last minute. Are you okay with this?
I'm not okay with this because they just thought about it, and it sounds like they didn't pull the trigger and do it. And I've said this before. Now that I'm retired from the wedding DJ game, I can openly admit, unless it's been family that I've been DJing for or friends, when you've hired me to DJ your wedding, the ceremony and the reception, I was always hoping somebody would get left at the altar. I've never seen it in person.
What's wrong with you?
I was always rooting for somebody to be left or like a jilted lover to come back, like in Wayne's World, trying to stop the wedding because he still loves her. Like, that never happened. Everything was smooth sailing. But in the back of my mind, I was always rooting for that. Which brings us to great moments in wedding history.
All right.
This is at Donald Trump's golf course where they've got an event center. And the old man decided to pull a Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson and crash the wedding. So let me ask you this, Nige.
Yes.
Would you be cool with a former president, even if you didn't like him, crashing your wedding? Let's say you and Lindsay are about to renew your vows, right? You've got family and friends gathered, and Joe Biden comes shuffling through.
No, I would not be okay with that. I'd have security escort him out.
Great moments in wedding history. Somebody was having their ceremony in the backyard, which, good. A lot of people do that. Cuts down on costs. But the Karen across the street thought too many people were parked in the neighborhood, so she turned on her lawnmower during the ceremony.
Your loving and faithful husband, in plenty and in
ridiculous.
I've not heard that before in my life. That's hilarious.
Great moments in wedding history from the movie Old School, Luke Wilson's toast after he was toasted.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded like a guy. Magic show where you double team your girlfriend, and it stops.
It stops right there, and it continues right here, because I think what my friend Mitch is trying to say is that true love is blind.
Vince Vaughn for the save. Great moments in wedding history.
Incredible movie. A restaurant in Italy is trying something cool. They'll give you a free bottle of wine if you give up your phone when you come in. No strings attached. The response from diners has been very positive. Are you okay with this?
Yes. I get a free bottle of wine if I just give them my phone while I have the meal? Yes. It requires people to actually talk to each other like we used to do back in the day.
I'm guilty of it too, though. I mean, we all are.
Sure.
But generally, when my family goes out, we put our phones away.
You know, the worst is, like, because now my oldest, you know, even though he lives in the same neighborhood, he's moved out.
Yeah.
My youngest, he's got his big upstairs penthouse kind of thing.
Sure.
So we have family dinner night once in a while. Hey, everybody come downstairs. You know, the coupon lady's going to make a meal. We're going to get together. And I'll bring everybody's plates in, and everybody's on their phones.
On their phones.
And you're right. I'm just as guilty of it. But, yeah. Yeah, like unlike the Dave Chappelle comedy show where, you know, I feel a little uncomfortable not having my phone just in case something happened here. This is a smaller environment and I'm getting a free bottle of wine. So I'm good with that.
Free booze always works.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
And now, Hammer and Nigel go off the rails with rock, you know.
Noise pollution.
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer is here. Also joining us live in studio, Rob Kendall from the Kendall and Casey Show. Here to go off the rails. Rob, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks, as always, to our segment sponsor, Garage Doors of Indianapolis.
So did I miss something? Something in the news about a woke sports writer saying something inappropriate to the most famous female athlete on planet Earth? I haven't heard much about that. Have you? Is that a thing?
O'Doyle rules.
O'Doyle rules.
It took 20 minutes for Greg Doyle to make Caitlin Clark uncomfortable. In Indianapolis. 20 minutes.
So my thought on this is, okay, you're the most famous athlete in the country. You're the hottest athlete in the country in terms of everybody wants to, you know, be around you, and the city is on fire, and you've got all this hope in terms of not
just signed a massive shoe deal with Nike.
And also in terms of, you know, you're literally lifting up a whole city in terms of economic impact, and everybody's so excited you're here, and right out of the gate, hey, here's the columnist for the paper of record in the city. You'll look forward to being around him for the next 15 years.
And you guys did a great job on your show today of not just picking on Doyle because he's super woke, he's super left, and that's fine, whatever. He's certainly not the first media member in the city to be that way. But he tried to make this big press conference introducing Caitlin Clark to Indianapolis about him.
Yeah. It's a 50-something-year-old man who's engaging in this sort of back and forth with a 20-something-year-old woman who, my understanding, he's never met before. He introduces himself as though she wouldn't know who he is. And you have, whatever it was, 2 months, you know she's going to be the pick for the Fever. Whenever it came out that the Fever were going to have the number one pick. And you have all that time to figure out what is the first thing I'm going to ask, arguably the most famous athlete on the planet. And that's what you come up with, this super weird, creepy interaction and the tone of his voice. Like, you're the columnist for the paper of record. I mean, there were tons of things Bill Binner wrote that I didn't agree with. There were tons of things Bob Kravitz wrote that I didn't agree with. But there was gravitas about them. There was a respectability about them. And this guy is the face of the Indy Star. And that is one of many. But that is a reason that paper is totally in the toilet.
And I love the fact that, again, the face of the Star, and you're right, that's their big guy right now, he's pretty much soured his relationship on this, what we believe to be, transcendent superstar.
Yes.
And it took 20 minutes.
Hold on. He apologized, guys. And I'm sure if it had been Clay Travis or Coach Dokich or Dave Portnoy, people would offer him the same grace. Right?
Oh, Nigel, you and your drugs.
Yeah, here's the thing that really bothers me, because we as a society have a vested interest in a thriving Indianapolis Star, because we need more eyes and ears on the ground covering newsmakers in our society.
And they've done great work in the past.
They can. Yeah,
absolutely.
They still have some really good reporters.
That Michigan State stuff was amazing.
They just recently did an incredible story on Gabe Whitley and this veterans group that he claimed endorsed him that nobody can find and locate. They did a great dive. Those are the sort of things they need to be doing. Briggs was tweeted out a piece that I saw today about a Democrat senator who had allegedly some inappropriate, unwanted contact with someone who worked for him, and it's a really interesting piece. They can do the work, but when you have this guy as your face of the franchise, your paper's in the toilet for a reason. The guy's unlikable. He's not even a good writer to begin with. He interjects all sorts of things that have no place in people who are interested in sports would want to read about into these columns, and yet they keep shoving him down our throats, and it was on full display, and I'm sure nothing will happen to him.
So I want to make sure that I'm not overreacting here and thinking this is creepy. So Nigel, let me defer to you on this one.
All right.
You have a daughter that's super young, but she plays sports.
Yeah.
Let's say she's a great athlete at 22. She's having a press conference, and this middle-aged sportscaster keeps making the heart sign to her, something that's personal to you and your family,
right.
You and your daughter.
Yeah.
And then he says to her, I want you to do that to me. How do you feel as a dad?
Just the hair on the back of my neck is standing up right now. Yeah, just kind of creeps me out. But my question is, Caitlin Clark got an apology. Where's Carson Wentz's apology? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He said some ultra vicious, horrible stuff that turned out to be nonsense and wrong about Carson Wentz and the COVID vaccine.
Right.
I'm not so outraged at the comments. I'm just outraged that he's not getting the same treatment that he is getting dinged. Trust me. But had it been Clay Travis, had it been Jason Hammer, had it been Rob Kendall, there'd be a different response.
Well, in his apology where he talked about, I think he said something like, oh, I'm a part of the problem. No, you are the problem. We didn't do this.
Right.
No, nobody else in that room did that.
There's no part to this. There's a singular part, and it's you.
You did that. And it's not even that he made the sign. If he'd asked about it and said, hey, you know, made the heart sign and said, hey, what is this? Why do you do this? What does this mean to you? That's fine. That's a totally appropriate line of questioning. But it's the whole thing. I'm glad you're here. And then, you know, as Casey astutely pointed out, he kind of closes with like trying to make sure she knows, hey, I'm a big deal. And if you do that sign to me, you're going to be okay because I'm going to, you know, write some nice things about you. The self-importance of these people is just simply unbelievable.
And that's the thing, because he surrounds himself in this little liberal bubble where everybody probably just sniffs the farts that he puts out there.
Ew.
But when you get out there on a national level and there are people that are willing to call you on your bull crap, that's when they have a hard time. That's why Greg Doyle had a hard time with Dan Dockich. Dan never put up with his bull crap, and now it's at a national level.
Yeah, and if you're going to be grenade thrower man, which Doyle is, and he's a very mean person in many, many cases, and he's a very judgmental person in many, many
cases. This is the same guy that wanted us to feel bad for him because he cheated on his wife. Remember that article where he was fighting with Dan?
Yeah,
he puts that out there.
I was confused by that one as well.
It's a bizarre... The politics of the Star is bizarre because they've completely alienated themselves from a huge portion of their potential listener base. And everybody knows the financial troubles that paper and that company has had. And a big part of it, I think, is because you have people like this guy who are highly unlikable grenade throwers as the face of your franchise.
Going off the rails with Rob Kendall here. Rob, have you or your old man opened up the property tax bill yet?
Oh, Hammer, that's a family event in my house.
Survey says
it did go up. It I think $175 is what mine went up.
Wow.
And I kind of feel like I got off a little easy compared to other people.
Right.
Now, a big part of that was because the town of Brownsburg raised my local tax rate 22.97%. Old Lion Lacey and the gang were in rare form this past year. But the whole system is broken. And we have reached crisis point for many people. Jim Merritt came on our show today and said his parents' property taxes went up $1,000 this year.
Has that become the biggest topic in Indiana elections this year? Has property taxes and gas taxes, I'll put taxes in one bubble here, has that taken over crime or education or anything else?
The story is anyone's refusal to do anything about it. I mean, you look at these mailers you guys get, or I don't know if you get them the same way I do. Everybody says, I want to lower taxes. How is it that all these Republicans want to lower taxes, and yet our taxes have never been higher in the state of Indiana, and our entire state is run by Republicans? They'll never tell you what taxes they want to lower, or if they do tell you what taxes they want to lower, they'll never tell you how they're going to lower them. And it's getting really offensive. So, like, where I live in Hendricks County, we have two underachievers running for an open state Senate seat. And both of these people, Brett Clark and Ann Englehart, have both, as elected officials, supported or voted to raise taxes. Clark multiple times with the income tax increase when he was sheriff in Hendricks County. Englehart with the school referendum when she was on the Avon school board. And I get these mailers from these people, both of them within a day of each other, who have supported massive tax increases in their elected official capacity, saying they want to lower my taxes. There it
is. And because of that, we're hearing some chatter, some scuttlebutt, that even some of the big time movers and shakers that normally win these primary elections in a landslide, it's a little closer than they thought. Like Rod Bray, there's some questions about whether or not he's in trouble in his primary election.
Yeah, Jay Hart is out there running, and in my understanding, he's really hitting the pavement. And absolutely, if you live in that Senate district, vote against Rod Bray. Even if you don't like Jay Hart, vote against Rod Bray. You have to vote against all of these incumbents. Here's the thing. If you invite a vampire into your house and go, hey, here's my neck, you can't be mad when they drain your blood.
Right.
And I've seen all of these people who keep voting for these incumbents. Well, he's a nice guy, or he's, his daughter goes to school with my daughter, or he was my little league coach. It doesn't matter. These people are financial predators. Indiana Republicans at the state level, and many of them at the local level, but many of the state level Republicans are total financial predators. None of them have any plan to address property taxes. Most of these governor candidates, Doden finally put out some mealy-mouthed, half-assed plan to help seniors, but you haven't heard word one about it since he put the ad out. They don't want to help you. You have to clean house.
Can you come back for one more break?
Just because you two are so damn good-looking.
We're going off the rails with Rob Kendall. This is the Hammer and Nigel Show. Back with Rob Kendall of the Kendall and Casey Show every Monday through Friday, 9 to noon, right here at 93 WIBC. See, I promoted your program today because Casey didn't give me the option of doing it earlier on the segment that I do with you guys.
She was filibustering you.
She was.
It's hilarious.
She got so mad over my age comment, which was a hilarious joke, by the way.
Right.
And I think she took it out on you because she was mad at me that I made a hilarious joke about her age.
You have to go back. I could listen to the podcast page to hear what was going on there. It was kind of Festivus today. It was an airing of grievances between everybody.
What were you angry at me about? What did I do?
Well, you were going on the air earlier today talking about how I look the same as I did 10 years ago.
You posted that picture.
Yeah, from 14 years ago. Yeah. And I look almost identical. And I said, that is some damn good genes the Lord has gifted me with, and I'm going to show this off.
First of all, you had a hair transplant surgery. And second of all, you haven't had any kids up until now, and kids, Bal, will age the bejesus out of you.
Welcome to the party, Bal.
Right.
You're going to in for a problem.
The next 18 years of your life, kid, boy, get ready.
Yeah, by the time I'm done, boy, Rob Kendall looks like Buddy Hackett.
Hey, what was up with the Masters and the ratings being down? Did you see that?
Oh, these people are full of it. So the Masters ratings were down, but here's the thing, they were way up on Thursday and Friday because Tiger was an integral part of it. Tiger's still the driver, right? He's still the straw that stirs the drink, and he fell out of contention quickly on Saturday and obviously wasn't a part of it Sunday. But one of the things that they don't include are the streaming numbers. I watched almost the whole thing on themasters.com because it's way better than watching it on TV in the world where you can blow everything up on your television
now. You can watch it for free?
Yes. And you can pick holes, you can pick players, you can watch every shot of your favorite player. And, I bet on 3, 4, 5 guys. I can keep track of it way easier in real time watching it on themasters.com. And I'm, P1 hardcore. Yeah. So I wonder how many people are like me have caught on themasters.com viewing experiences way better than TV.
See, certain sports I think are better at home. Now, we're talking about television compared to online, but I think football is better at home, NFL-wise. Yep. College, you go for the atmosphere, but being at home with your betting app and the Red Zone channel and, the Sunday ticket where you can shop around and look around, that's the best.
Well, and I'll tell you, golf is that way because we went to the 99 PGA, and that's when Sergio and Tiger had that duel. They were both young kids.
Oh, man.
And Sergio hit that incredible shot around the tree that lives on forever. Yep. We missed all of that on it was on 17 because we were sitting all day on 18 to see the end of the tournament, and we had no idea until we got home, oh my gosh, Sergio hit this incredible shot. And it's like, you missed the whole damn tournament going to see it in person.
What's coming up on the Kendall and Casey Show tomorrow?
I don't know. Casey will probably get mad at me again and take it out on you. We'll look forward to that. It'll be a good time.
Special thanks
as always to Garage Doors of Indianapolis. You guys are the best.
He's off the rails. He's Rob Kendall. This is the Hammer and Nigel Show.